Well, good morning, everybody. If you weren't awake, you're awake now. We are in week four of our collection of talks, Know Thyself. If this is your first time, if you've been here, or if you haven't heard the previous message, if you missed those Sundays, please go online. Go to villageheights.church/messages. You can listen to there. I promise they will change your life. It's a lot of great truth in there. So through this series, we've been reviewing the life of Daniel. And what we have found in the life of Daniel, that he is one of the most self-aware people in history. And he had to be, to do all the cool things, the great things that he did for our world and the people that he was a part of. So one of the things that our world loves, and we love to talk about, is compromise. We love talking about compromise. And compromise, it's a good thing. It is. It's very important in marriages. But the thing is, we don't want to talk about compromise when it has to do with us having to do the compromising, okay? Usually in marriages or in a relationship, somebody comes like, we're just having difficulty, we're not just functioning well together. Usually if I ask enough questions, I can get to the point where I go, ooh, see, you didn't compromise here. And it caused a rift. But compromise is very important, but we only want it when it benefits us. When you're in a marriage or in a relationship and somebody says, I need you to compromise, it hurts. It hurts a little bit. You know, you don't want to do that. But when it comes to God, the only way that we can make life easier as far as that's concerned, as far as God goes, is sticking by our convictions. See, God, although we have to compromise because we're imperfect, we're humans, God doesn't compromise. God is solid. He is only one way. The only changing variable is us. He's been the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he does not compromise. And so there's convictions that he wants us to stick to. That's a part of his plan. Because when we stand for what we believe in, when we hold to our faith, the blessings are unbelievable. When God sees us sticking with something, even though the circumstances don't add up to our favor, when we stick with it, he likes to bless us on the other end. Daniel was one of those guys, and we're going to continue to review Daniel, our Old Testament prophet, the man, Daniel, by studying Daniel's refusal, absolute refusal to compromise on his convictions, his faith with God. God got to do some cool stuff through him because he was willing to hold through. Because there was moments when Daniel was, I'm sure, walking up to the throne, whatever king was there, whatever demand, had to listen to some weird dreams and interpret them, had to watch and see this writing on the wall that happened, had to interpret. He was literally thrown, got to the lion's den and thrown in. I'm sure at those moments he's walking up going, do I want to do this? Are you sure, God, that I need to do this? Like, because right now it looks like the end is near. It's nigh, okay? And I don't want this. But he stuck with it. He stuck to his convictions, and he stayed with it, and some cool, cool stuff happened. So we discovered that the focus isn't about fighting against culture. You see, for Daniel, we like to say that, oh, he was just fighting the culture that time. He actually lived through four kingdoms. Different cultures, different things. And what you find is the common denominator was that it wasn't the cultures, it was his convictions towards God. That the one thing that he decided that he lived for, no matter what the culture was doing, was God. He had focus on God, focus on God's plan for his life. It's about being resolved and focused on the foremost, and that's God. When we do that, we will experience blessings of God no matter what is happening in the world around us. This is when you find that scenario of crazy Christians. You know those Christians that you meet that someone just died in their family, they lost somebody, or they've lost their job, or they've lost a lot of money somehow, and they should be depressed, and they're just smiling, just about to dance in the streets, and you're like, okay, some of them might have lost it, maybe. I mean, it's possible, we're human, but most of the time, it's because their identity is not based on their circumstances. Their identity is based on the one thing that is everlasting for eternity, and that is God. Because when you base your identity on him, it doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter what's crashing in around you. you can always find joy. That's what's like living the blessed life. So, any sports fans in the room? Come on, guys, don't be shy. Any sports fans? Come on, this is interactive. Let's do this, okay? The cool thing about sports and what makes us enjoy it, yes, there's two sides that come together and they're matched up and they fight and, you know, but what the cool part about is those individual players. Those individual players that we call playmakers, okay? Playmakers, it's referred in football a lot, but it could be really any sport. You know, your playmakers, you got your LeBron Jameses, you got your James Hardens. In baseball, one of my favorite playmakers growing up was Derek Jeter. Man, he was killer. In football, and I'm not, I mean, we love J.J. Watts and stuff like that, but Deion Sanders, boy, that he was a playmaker, okay? Michael Jordan was a playmaker. It didn't matter what the team, who the team was, there was no doubt when they stepped on the field, on the court, wherever it was, they're going to make something happen. They always just seemed to be in the right place at the right time. I remember watching World Series and seeing Derek Jeter, like he was like this tan angel from heaven sent to play baseball for us. And he was doing these miraculous things, flying through the air, doing things that I didn't think were even bodily possible that he was doing to get people out. Amazing. Coaches from all over the country and in universities and high schools were taking those tapes to their kids and saying, can any of you do this? You know, I'm sure that was happening. But that's what makes it so exciting is those playmakers. Because if it was just evenly matched teams that just followed the rules exactly and everybody was just even, that'd be boring. Wouldn't want to watch that. Super boring. But playmakers is what makes it fun. But I'm willing to argue that even though I don't know what the sports situation was down in Daniel's time, to me the sports situation was kingdoms, what they could conquer. In Daniel, no doubt, I could argue he was a playmaker of his time. That when he got involved, when he stepped on the scene, something crazy was about to happen. Either somebody was going to be put to the test, somebody was going to have to stand up and do something, somebody is about to die, you know, just something was about to happen. He was truly a catalyst. And playmakers, what we find is playmakers, they're always those people that find themselves in the right place at the right time. And it's super annoying, right? They're always in the right place at the right time. I'm sure whoever's playing backup to Jeter hated that. The guy was always in the right place at the right time. But God wants us to be in the right place at the right time so that he can bless us. He wants that for us. See, that's what the blessed life is. The blessed life, and this is a farce that's been perpetuated in the Christian world throughout churches and denominations, that the blessed life is like you get to live rich and you get to have all that you want. You're not going to have any more difficult prosperity. It's just constant prosperity. That's not true. That's not real. Even if you are a believer, you're still going to face problems. Because the truth is, how would you know what good is if you never face bad? How would you know how to really enjoy what a great, blessed life is if you've never had to deal with the latter, the what's more difficult? How would you even know? The blessed life is what Daniel figured out. He knew how to live it. He knew how to make it happen. Because ultimately, the blessed life, it's amazing life, not always the easiest. The ultimate goal is we get to go to heaven. We get to have that the best vacation, right? The everlasting vacation, that final destination that we get to go to spend with our Creator. But to get there, you're going to face some junk and some funk of this world. No matter who you are, you're going to face some tough stuff. And what you will find, the closer you get to God, the bigger the problems get. The bigger the ones you have to face. It all comes down to self-awareness. Self-awareness, and that's what we've been talking about this whole series of self-awareness. Self-awareness is the result of knowing God intimately. It's a right to every believer to be self-aware. Because when you find your identity in the one that knows you better than yourself, you have this great opportunity to be more self-aware than you could ever achieve on your own. And God is the ultimate opportunity for that because he created everything. Before you were a twinkle in your dad's eye, before you came out of the womb, all that, God knew you. He knew what your talents were going to be. He knew everything. Being self-aware means being close to the one who created us, because he will guide us down the right path. It also means to understand your strengths and your weaknesses. You find someone that's self-unaware, I guarantee you, you start poking at one of their weaknesses, they'll start screaming. They'll start doing weird things, fighting you. They don't want to talk about it because they don't want to face who they are. But a self-aware person realizes, along with their strengths, they're not perfect. They're going to have some weaknesses. And a self-aware person can laugh about those weaknesses. They can go, man, yeah, that's true, and they can deal with that, and they can work on it. They'll give God the chance to get into their life and do some cool stuff despite their weaknesses. That's what a self-aware person looks like. Self-aware people are unique. They're playmakers. The right place, the right time. They always seem to be in the right position. That's where Daniel was. And Daniel was one, like I said, one of the most self-aware people in the Bible. And so, like last week we talked about, we do a quick review of that. King Darius put Daniel in charge of all the people. Even though he was not a part of them, he put him in charge of them because he recognized Daniel and what he was able to do. The people became jealous. And this is what happened. Daniel 6:6. So the administrators and the high officers went to the king and said, "Long live King Darius." These are the keys. I'm going to give you all three keys to look at for you can identify in yourself if you're self-unaware, or you can identify in other people if they're self-unaware. When you figure out those people in your life, you begin to navigate people a lot better and navigate yourself. All right, so the first one we're looking at, it points out right here. Like he said, so the administrators and the high officers went to the king and said, "Long live King Darius." The first thing the people did was to play to King Darius's pride. That's manipulation. The first thing to look out for was for someone that's self-unaware or for in yourself is manipulation. It's when you manipulate, you take a tiny piece of information and you twist it to your favor. Manipulation. Don't be elbowing wives and husbands. Don't be elbowing each other. Don't be doing that, okay? King Darius allowed himself to be manipulated. And the thing about people that manipulate, they might make you feel like they care about you, but they don't. They're manipulating you to get you to do what they need you to do so they can get ahead. These people, all his high officers, King Darius, they did not care about him. Because if they cared about him, they would have given him truth. But they took the information and they twisted it because they were determined to use the king to wipe out Daniel because they were intimidated and jealous of him. So the first one is manipulation. Look out for that. The second one, when manipulation is not enough, you will see this in people, they'll manipulate something. If that didn't sway you, they exaggerate. Exaggeration is next. They blow it out of proportion. They begin to say, well, all these people are saying, who are all these people? Who are they? Bring them forth. Well, I mean, I want to protect their identity. It's because they're not real. They don't exist. They begin to blow things out of proportion to make you scared. Daniel 6:7, this is what they did. We are all in agreement. All? Where was Daniel? All means everybody. Daniel's not around. We administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. That's an absolute. Look out for absolutes in people's lives. When they start putting an absolute on something, they're usually hiding an insecurity. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, more absolutes, divine or human, except you, your majesty, manipulation, playing that pride again, will be thrown into a den of lions. Exaggeration. We are all in agreement. He's like, we've all agreed. We're all here. A little bit of information, manipulation, and then exaggerate. Try to cast some fear, build up the pride, saying we're a mass. Majority is usually wrong. Majority is usually not right, because majority usually goes with their feelings. When we lie, we exaggerate. They didn't all discuss it. Daniel was not there. Darius was so self-unaware, he thought it was all about him. Me, me, me. Darius made an emotional decision. He did not discuss it with the one that he was going to put on top of everybody. that one, Daniel, did not talk to him about it. So what's next? When manipulation doesn't work, when exaggeration doesn't work, the thing to throw on top of that is disassociation. Disassociation. So what is disassociation? It means mild or severe detachment from reality, from people, from places, from things. King Darius disassociated Daniel in his head. He did not see the link because he didn't want to. When you find people in your life, or if you've done this yourself, when there's something that you don't want to address, you act like it doesn't exist. You shut a door, you throw it away. Sometimes there's that moment where you did something so stupid. You did something so dumb that that's the nastiest, most rotten crow that you'll ever have to eat in your life. You want to forget it exists and not deal with it. But what God wants to do, like he can do with all things, he can make all things good. He wants to take whatever that is and use it to grow you. He wants to take that terrible thing, transform it into an opportunity to make you closer to him and better on this earth. But you have to be willing. But that's what King Darius did. He disassociated Daniel. But what was Daniel's response? What is your response when people disassociate you? Well, if you've had somebody in your life that has cut you out all of a sudden, or you've cut somebody else a lot, this is like the end all of chances to manipulate somebody, to hopefully get what you want. Because you're hoping they're going to go, what did I do? What did I do wrong? How can I earn back this relationship? And that's when people get desperate and they'll do anything. And that's where you want them. When you're self-unaware and you're manipulating people, you're exaggerating, you've disassociated them, you want to just get them right there. That's where he had Daniel. He had him right there. Everybody had worked it out. They manipulated all of that. This is Daniel's response. This is what he does. Daniel 6:10. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, meaning it's a done deal. The law has been signed. There's no arguing it. He was not consulted, but it's passed and it's going. He went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room, like didn't change any plans. This is what he does normally. As usual, in the upstairs room, with the windows open toward Jerusalem, meaning his homeland where he's originally from, he prayed 3 times a day, just as he'd always done, giving thanks to his God. Daniel lived the life. He decided that he was going to serve God. God was going to be number one, regardless of his circumstances, even though the chips are used up, even though it's time out, the clock out is going to happen for Daniel. He knows the end has come, regardless of what people are saying. No. He resolved to follow Jesus, to follow God. Jesus was in the mix there, but not around yet. But he followed God. Sorry about that. He followed God. He chose to, despite persecution, he still continued to walk with God. He didn't hide it. He opened the windows because he was proud. He set himself on the one that was everlasting. Remember, he lived for 4 kingdoms. 4 kingdoms. He knows how quickly it can change. Now, God can come and just drop a bomb and just wipe it out and do something new. He knew it. So he stuck with him. He stuck with God. So how do we live in such a destructive place like Babylon? How do we do that? Daniel stood for truth. Daniel was self-aware because of his walk with God. And because people knew Daniel and what he had done, there was opportunities in Daniel's life for him to meet people and talk about God. Otherwise, they never would have before. So there's times in your life, and you will find this, if you stick by your convictions, hold to your faith, God's going to put people in your path that would never would have darkened the doorstep of a church or brought up God. All of a sudden, they're asking you questions about God that you can't even answer, and you're texting me trying to get the answers, and I'm trying to text you back to tell you what to say, and that's cool, and I love that. Keep doing that. But they're going to put you in opportunities. That's what Daniel had. Not because Daniel is like the smartest guy around or the most athletic or the most rich or anything like that. Because he was willing to stick to his convictions. People knew his knowledge of God and were curious. There are people like Daniel in our lives that we have the opportunity to speak with. Daniel was the right person who was there in the right time. If you have become a follower of Christ in this, if you're in this room, I guarantee you, there was somebody in your life that was the right person at the right time. It's not by happenstance. That all has to do with a God who loves you. He wants to connect with you. He put a Daniel in your life because he needed to connect with you. So because he was the right person, Daniel was a playmaker. Man, when he hit the scene, he was a catalyst. He changed the situation. He was the right person, the right place, the right time. But here's the thing. You have to choose that life. Daniel chose to do that. It wasn't just happened to Daniel. He chose it. He wanted it. And so when you choose something, you make actions towards that. Otherwise, it's just words, and words are empty. They solidify each other. The actions solidify the words. He made a choice, and he went after that. Daniel was persecuted for it. This group, like we talked about, was jealous of him. They wanted to take him out. But God, just as he gave him, God will give us strength, the power, the energy, and the courage to find the Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednegoes in our life who are going to stick with us, who are going to stand up with us, so that we may live the blessed life. Becoming a Christian does not mean you won't have troubles and struggles. And if I told you that, I'd be setting you up for failure. Because if you, the first time you went out and something bad happened, you would thought, why is God mad at me? And he's not. He's not mad at you. You're just going to face difficulties. It's going to happen. We don't tell God what to do. We ask him to show us his plans for our life. God brought Daniel through a situation. Daniel came out of the lion's den unharmed. He had him named. Katy Perry, he named one of those lions. Katy Perry, I'm sure. Whiskers, you know, he had little saucers and bowls made just for them. He was doing tricks. There's going to be times when people are going to throw things at you that are meant to destroy you, and you're going to be like, look what God can do. And you're going to start spinning it on his head, doing some cool stuff, because God can do that. Regardless of the situation, he can do that for you too. But what's one of the coolest things is that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The cool things that happened to Daniel, it's the same God. The same God, but you didn't see God that much. And then something happened. He sent his son come to this earth and be, and it was revealed to us, Jesus. And we get all these history and these books about him, all these stories about him. And what was happening in the Old Testament, the same love that was there is now revealed in our timeline. In the New Testament, we get to see Jesus do some cool, cool stuff in our lives. It's revealed. But here's one of the biggest questions that we need to ask ourselves is, how did Daniel manage to stay self-aware? How did he do it? You got to go to the beginning. You got to go to Daniel 1. And I love how it's set it up in Scripture, how this comes about, because it's if you missed it, you read too fast, you missed it. But you got to find it. In Daniel 1:8, it says, but Daniel was determined not to defile himself. When he said defile himself, it didn't matter what came after that. Matter what, all it meant is there's nothing in this life that he was going to let disconnect himself from God. Whatever it was, whatever the circumstances, how good it might seem, how dangerous it might seem, whatever it was, he was not going to disconnect from God. So he was determined, he made a choice to not be defiled. His resolve means to make up your mind in advance. That's what resolve means, to make up your mind in advance. He was resolved. Daniel 1:9, this is what happens. See, when you make the choice that you're going to serve God and you're going to be determined, and you're, whatever comes your way, whatever is going to happen in your life, you're going to keep God as number one. This is what happens next. Daniel 1:9, now God has given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. Daniel had to choose to have the faith first. Some of us want to treat it the other way around. We're like, God, you got to prove yourself. Give me riches, give me favor, and then I'll serve you. It doesn't work that way. He's God. The only time that it's worked that way is when he sent the ultimate gift, his son, who paid a price for our sins that hadn't happened yet. But this is God. He doesn't work that way. You have to choose it first. And then we continue on, and this is kind of the after effects of it in Daniel 1, 19 through 20. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as such as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azra. So they entered the royal service. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any other magician and enchanters in his kingdom. See, Daniel made his decision before the dilemma. A lot of us, we want to act like God doesn't exist. We got it on our own until we're in that life or death situation. There's a lot of people today who are not, they say they're not religious and they don't go to church and all these things. But as soon as a hurricane hits, you better believe they're praying. When that bank account hits zero, you better believe they're praying. They're like, God, I know I hadn't talked to you in about a decade, but man, it's coming my way and I feel like it's in it. Can you help me, God, please? Are you over here, God, or are you over there? Lord, I know that I'm supposed to be generous and be wise with my money, but I spent it all. It's all gone now. My bank account is zero. What do I do? God, help me. We always want to go to him when it's too late. Daniel didn't do that. That's how he stayed self-aware, because he stayed with God regardless of the situation. So in the good times, he's with God. In the bad times, God's with him. That's how it works. Daniel made a decision before the dilemma. Daniel was resolved. He made a choice and was going to stick with it regardless. But there's also another one who was resolved. He lived about 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, he made his mind up to live a sinless life, to die a sacrificial death, to rise again. If you need a hint, his name is Jesus. He was resolved. He made his mind up to take your sin and mine upon himself. When every demon in hell was screaming at him while he was on the cross, get down, you don't have to do this. Satan tried to make him a deal and tell him he'd make him so rich, make him the most powerful one on this earth if you don't do it. But Jesus already made a decision. He was resolved. Resolved. Regardless of what was going to happen, he had your sins and your life on his mind. He had your lust in mind. He had your anger in mind, your rebellion in mind, your materialism in mind, your greed in mind, your chicanery in mind, your pride in mind. He was thinking about it on that cross. He decided he was going to die for all of that. Regardless, for you, not for just them back then, for you now, right now, giving us the opportunity to have a position of a Christ follower and be in the position to be used mighty. That's what it means to be hashtag blessed. I've been in the ministry for like 15 years, guys, and I can't tell you how many friends I've had, family members, that said, you're going to do what? You're going to go be in the ministry? Don't you want to have nice things and money and all this stuff? And I'm like, of course I do. But what's more important to me, I'm resolved to see God change people's lives. There's no amount of riches on this earth, nothing happened here that is more important than somebody's eternity. And luckily, I have a partner in crime with me that decided to do this with me. And I made the choice. I'm like, I don't care what it takes. We moved to the Heights. We sold everything for this moment, this opportunity to get to talk to you guys and tell you about the greatest thing this earth has ever seen. I'm resolved. If you want to live the blessed life, regardless of your circumstances, you got to be resolved. You got to choose it. You got to choose to be a Christ follower. So right now, I'm going to give you guys that chance to be resolved. We're going to say a prayer, and I want you guys to repeat it after me. And I want everybody to do it. I'm not here to single anybody out or embarrass anybody, because this is between you and Jesus. I can't resolve for you. I wish I could, but I can't. It's between you and Christ. Because here's the scenario that I always say. If you get to the pearly gates, you know, and they're looking at the book, and they're like, oh, your name's not here. And you're going to be like, well, but Bill said. They're going to go, who's Bill? We don't care who Bill is. We care about who you are. Did you follow Christ? Not if Bill did. I can't follow him for you. You have to choose it. Resolve now. Everybody bow your heads and repeat after me. Jesus, I've been going through life with an absence of you. I have been separated from my Creator, in need of a Savior. I ask for your forgiveness. Cleanse me and make me righteous before God. From this day forward, I live reborn and rescued in your holy name. Let your light shine in me and through me to the ends of the earth. Thank you for the gift of salvation. My Savior and King. Amen. If you made that prayer for the first time and meant it, welcome to the family. Look around. This is your family now. I can't wait to see what happens in your life because you resolved. But I will tell you, when you face those hard things, and it's going to happen, the enemy does not like it. He wants to trip you up and wants to keep you from that blessed life. And so when that happens, I'm here for you. This is what a church is all about. When you hit that tough time and you're having to go through it, we're going to be standing right there to pick you up and hold you through it. Be resolved. And so right now, Hannah's going to come and do some quick announcements and talk, and she's going to give some direction. But right after I pray, we're going to do the thing that we get to celebrate in that resolve. And if you've made that choice today and you're coming to get baptized, but if you made that choice for the first time today, and you want to get baptized, instant celebration. You want to get dunked right now. We want to do that. Okay, we got a shirt for you. We want to celebrate with you this new life change because you are now new. New in Christ. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for loving us beyond our what we can imagine. That you sent your Son. You came to earth to live a perfect life, to show us, to teach us, and then died and conquered death for us. Thank you. Lord, in this journey to be self-aware, I pray that we do not neglect our relationship with you, but we reach after, that we resolve, that regardless of what we face on this world, whatever tries to trip us up or knock us down, that we stick to you as number one. Lord, and I pray as a church, that we stand up with one another, that when we hit those hard times and we need encouragement, we're there to lift each other up and to say, you got this. Lord, I pray that we just produce a church full of Daniels, ones that will go into their homes and that will go into their offices and go to work, wherever that may be, and be a catalyst, to be a playmaker for your will. Lord, it's all for you. Thank you that we get to be a part of this journey. Lord, I can't wait to see what happens. Bless these people, Lord, and bless the baptisms that are about to happen. We thank you. All the love and all the honor goes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.